James chapter 2, verse 1 is where we'll begin reading. And today I'd like to ask you to stand as we read from the Word of God about prejudice. Continuing our series on practical faith, today we're going to deal with prejudice. Verse 1 says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in the good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit here in my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to become or to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the opportunity to look into your word. And I pray, Lord, you would use me today as your instrument, that you would speak your message through me, that this be your message, not my own, that you would open all of our hearts to receive your message, and that you would apply it to our lives, that we may grow and become better servants for you. I pray for those in this service who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that you'll bless them, that you will call them and convict them of sin and draw them to you, and that you will bless them with the strength to make you their Lord and Savior today and to step out and make it public. Oh Lord, we love you. And we thank you for all things, but most of all, Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that was made upon the cross of Calvary for our sin. And thank you that it is available to everyone who will call upon your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. First in the Great Commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The second commandment. Now we spent the last, 3 weeks or so on the first chapter of John. And it's all about loving one another and loving the brethren. We do that at Victory. Amen? Oh, come on. Let's be a little stronger this morning. We love one another at Victory. Amen? Amen. I mean, it's not an option. It's a requirement. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. Boy, that's pretty strong language, isn't it? So that doesn't leave me a choice. I've got to love you. And better yet, you've got to love me too. But you know what? If the love stays within these walls, we've not done our job. That's what this message is about. You see, not only are we required to look around here today and love our brethren that we go to church every week with, but we're required as children of God to take that love outside these walls to those people who do not know the love of Jesus Christ, to those people who may never come inside these walls if we don't take the love of Jesus out there to them first. You see, that's why God has placed us here. And the first thing I want to ask is a question today, and that question is, do I really have a problem with prejudice? Because honestly, most people do not believe that they have a problem. Most people do not believe that they have prejudice. Well, let's talk about common prejudice. First of all, James said in this text, "Brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." That word partiality, it means favoritism or prejudice. This would mean that you would treat a person with more or less honor based upon some trait or characteristic that you feel makes them more or less acceptable in your sight. Prejudice. The Jews were the world's worst, and quite honestly, they still are. At the day of Jesus, the Jews were so much prejudice that if you were not a Jew, they did not consider you worthy of God. Therefore, you were not worthy of them. They looked at you as a Gentile dog. So this message is really going to hit home to the Jews that James is writing to. They were so bad that there was an area near Israel called Samaria. And Samaria was filled with people that were half Jew and half Gentile. And they hated those people. And the reason they hated them was because they were half Jew and half Gentile. They even excluded them, said, "You're not worthy to come to Jerusalem and worship." So the Samaritans built their own place of worship, made the Jews hate them even more. They were so bad that if they were going to have to, they almost wouldn't travel through the land of Samaria because they didn't want that dirt on their feet. You think, oh, that's so sad. And it is sad. I find it interesting that they did make exceptions, however. We read in Luke chapter 7 of a story of a centurion whose servant was sick, and he loved his servant so very much. And the elders and the Jews come to Jesus and they say, "Oh, Jesus, will you please heal this servant of this centurion?" And they said, "For he is deserving." And you know why they thought he was deserving? He was deserving because they said, he has built us a synagogue. It's funny how our opinions and attitudes can change when there's something in it for us, isn't it? The Jews couldn't be moved, but they could be bought. Listen. As we read this today, we're reminded that you've got to look beyond race, skin color, financial status, place of origin, education level, social circle. And we've got to find one thing that everyone has in common. And you know what that one thing is? We're all people. And we're made in the image of God. And as people, we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we all have this same basic need of Jesus Christ. And you see, color of skin doesn't have anything to do with anything. James gives a hypothetical situation that would have been very common in that day. And that was two men coming into the synagogue. One man was a rich guy. I mean, you could tell by the way he was dressed, he was rich. You could tell by the jewelry. I mean, he had the bling, right? You could just obviously see this guy showed up in service in a Ferrari. And then there was this other guy. This other guy was a poor man. His clothes were tattered and dirty. I'm sure he didn't smell the best. Now, I want to change one word. It says that these two individuals came into the synagogue. That's the Jewish place of worship, right? We don't have a synagogue today. We have a church building. So I want you to put yourself in this environment. All right? Two people showed up at church this morning. One is obviously rich. You know he's rich. He's got, this really, really nice suit, and he doesn't shop at JCPenney. You can tell. He drove a Ferrari to church. You saw him get out of that car. I mean, here's the guy that he just, an example of success. And then there's this other fella. As you were driving to church this morning, you saw him pushing a grocery cart down Reasoner Lane. And in that grocery cart, he had some junk that he had found around town. Clothes were tattered. He was wet because we had showers of blessings this morning. And as you pass that guy, the thought come to mind, I wonder where he's going. And you got here in this service today, and that guy was sitting on the back seat. You knew it's the same guy because you saw his grocery cart parked in the parking lot beside your car. And as you look around and you see the rich guy in the Ferrari over here, and you see the guy with the grocery cart car on this side, and you look at him, which one are you going to say, I want him to be a member of Victory Baptist Church? Now, if you'll be very truthful there as you answer that question, it quickly reveals your heart. For you see, as you look at both men, they have the same thing in common, that they are both sinners in need of a Savior. They have the same thing in common, that there's only salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And they have the same thing in common, that the only way you can be saved is to call upon Jesus Christ. You see, what I want to point out to you to begin with is that we really do have a problem. We have a problem today with a lot of different things. Not just rich and poor, homeless and mansion type people. Ferraris and shopping carts. We have a problem with black and white. I mean, the color of the skin is what I'm talking about. Let me ask you, when you see a black person, if you're white, do you see someone that you desire to be a member of Victory Baptist Church who needs Jesus? If you are black and you look at a white person, do you automatically think, all white people are the same, I don't want any part of that? Hispanics. When you see Hispanics, what do you think? Illegals? No, whatever card they have. What is that called? Green card? You think, because there are some illegals, they're all illegal. When you look at Indians, we went on a trip to the Navajo Reservation to minister to American Indians, the Navajo Indians, this summer. When you look out there, do you think, wow, what an abused people. I don't know, maybe some think casinos. Jews. You know what? We're all different. And the color of skin does not make one bit of difference to the need that we have, which is Jesus Christ. We look at males and females, and we're different. Praise God for the difference. Amen. I mean, the difference is really good. But we all have the same need. The need for the same Savior. We're all from 50 states, United States of America. But it doesn't matter if you're from Arkansas or Alabama. We all need a Savior. Republican, Democrat. I want you to understand that everything today is being blown to the point, and the reason it's being blown up is to be divisive in our country. I mean, you look at the way the media reports things today, and honestly, I'm half the time I will not even watch the news anymore because it's so biased. It's a black man shot a white person or a white man shot a black person. It doesn't matter what color he was. Somebody was shot. That person was important because he needed Jesus. You know? You look at the Republicans and the Democrats, and I am completely convinced today that the Republicans could come up with a solution that would put $1 million in every American's pockets, and the Democrats would be against it because they're Democrats and they're Republicans. But let's reverse that. The Democrats could come up with the same solution, and the Republicans would fight to the death against it. Why? Because of the division. Because people are not seeing people anymore. And that's the need of our country. Is to quit looking at the things that divide. The things that drive the wedge between people. The colors of skins, the social standings, the political parties. And start looking at people as people who have needs. You see, that's the problem. And we do have a problem in this country. But we can say amen. But you know where the solution lies? The solution's got to start with God's people. That's you and me. Looking at people and seeing people like we've never seen them before. As people created in the image of God, people whose only hope is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, not the color of their skin, not their bank account. I want to ask you the next question. Can the problem be fixed? Absolutely, it can be fixed. The first step is to recognize your prejudice, recognize your animosity. James puts it like this. He said, whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles in one point, he's guilty of it all. You see, what was going on is these Jews, they would live their life and they wouldn't commit adultery. Adultery's wrong. They wouldn't steal because stealing is wrong. They wouldn't worship a false god because idolatry was wrong. Oh, but they had looked through at other people through the lens of prejudice. And James, you know what he's saying? James is saying, beloved, you might not commit adultery. You might not steal. And you might think that makes you okay, but it does not make you okay as long as you do not love your neighbor. Yeah? Doesn't it make sense? I mean, don't we do the same thing? Let's be honest, we go to church. And we try to be faithful in church, and you know, and some teach Sunday school classes, and I preach, and Brother Dale leads us in music, and we fill the choir, and we have this great things going on, this great service going on. But what difference does it make? If we do all this good stuff inside the walls of Victory Baptist Church, but we do not show the love of Jesus when we go outside these walls. You see, we become a transgressor. And a transgressor of the law of liberty. The first thing we must understand is Peter. And Peter was prejudiced, I mean, to the hilt. And God had to teach him. He had to teach him that people were people, and it didn't matter the color of their skin or their race. And so God used an example. He let down a sheet of various creatures in front of him, and he told James to eat. James said, "Oh no, those are unclean. God, I wouldn't dare. I've never eaten unclean food." God said, "What I've cleansed, don't call unclean." And that happened several times. And ultimately, God gave him the message, "Look, Peter, I'm no respecter of persons. Everybody has the same need. Everybody needs to have the Savior, Jesus Christ." You see, that's what we're here for. We're not here to offend. We're not here to It's funny because sometimes I get on tears and I look at and I think, you know, what is wrong with this world? Sin is just running rampant. Men are, they have no logic about them. And I think, my goodness, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. And then I realize there's nothing wrong that hadn't been wrong for the last 6,000 years. We have a sin problem. And the only cure to that sin problem is Jesus Christ. And when we quit looking at people according to standings and status and race and start looking and seeing people who need Jesus, that's when the church will truly make a difference in this country. You see, we've got to recognize our prejudice. We've got to act upon the opportunities that God sets before us. He said in verse 12, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty or freedom." Speak as those that will be judged by the law of freedom. Here's the thing you've got to understand. You see, in the New Testament, we're under grace. We have such words as mercy and grace, and it's your choice. Okay? There is no law that says you will witness to 10 people a day. We don't have a law like that. We have a command we call the Great Commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have that. But what I want you to get at this point is you're free to choose. You're free to decide what you're going to do with this life. You see, I said a while ago, that we often look at ourselves as, well, I don't do certain things. I don't commit adultery. Why? Because Beth would kill me. No. That's one good reason. But because I'm afraid. I'll be honest with you. I'm afraid. Afraid of what God would do to me. I don't steal. Why? Because I know it's wrong. And I fear God. And so I choose not to do these things. Right? And so I'm not going to stand before God one of these days and God's going to say, "Okay, you did good, Brother Doug. Man, I'm so glad you didn't commit adultery. I'm so glad that you didn't steal." That's not what He's going to base the judgment on. You know what He's going to base the judgment on? The sins of omission. Okay? Not the sins of commission. You know, not what I did not do. He's going to judge me based upon what I could have done and chose not to do. Does that make sense? You know? Doug, I put you in Russellville, Arkansas. You ran across people on the streets of Russellville every day and you never told anybody about Jesus. Doug, I put you in civic organizations. You never told anybody about Jesus. Doug, there were Jews, there were Gentiles, there were blacks, there were Indians. I put all these in your path, and you never looked at them once and said, "That person needs Jesus." Brother Doug, you're prejudiced. You're a bigot. You see, the gospel of liberty is for all. And it was your job to make sure everybody received it. I dare say that most of us, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, will have more to answer for. Not the sins of commission, but the sins of omission. The opportunity that God set before us and we never did anything with it. What do we do? Friends, we've got to live in superiority. And I'm not talking about I'm better than somebody else. We all know there's nobody better than anybody else here today. Amen? but there is a better way to live. You see, James said mercy triumphs over judgment. We've got to change the way we look at people. We've got to see people through eyes of mercy. Not the color of their skin, not their rich or poor financial status, not their political affiliations, not even their sin. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever chose not to speak to someone because they don't live a life that meets your standards? Oh, we're really bad about that, I'll be honest with you. Well, they're old sinners. Listen, if we don't associate with them, if we don't meet them, if we don't speak to them, if we don't share the love of Jesus with them, there's nobody else that will. Okay? It's not just about us condemning lifestyles, condemning sin. Sin is wrong, and you know, there's no argument there. But people have got to know we care. Because I've discovered, doesn't matter the color of your skin, it doesn't matter the amount in your bank account, we all hurt just the same. You know that? We're all people. And as I said before, we all need a Savior. James's point was that they were letting their personal prejudice stand between a poor person and the gospel. That's wrong. I ask you today, what do you let stand in front of you that prevents someone else from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ? What is it? Is it the color of skin? Well, Brother Doug, I don't feel comfortable talking to Indian people. Well, get over it. You know how to be comfortable? Do it. When I surrendered to preach, guess what? The first message I preached, I was not comfortable. I was afraid. I mean, really afraid. You know how I got over it? I preached. Yeah. So don't make excuses. Don't say, well, they're different than I am. No, they're flesh and blood just like you are, and they need a Savior. And it's your job to share Jesus. My job. Well, I want to tell you something. As I studied this, I had to preach this to me before I could get it to you. Because I am guilty of passing over people. Yeah. I don't need to talk to that. They'll never receive what I've got to say. They're living too wild and worldly life. They'll never hear me. How do I know? Well, I don't, you know, they're the wrong color, wrong skin color. And I'm not comfortable around that race of people. How do you know? How do you know they're not going to receive you until you try? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. They need Jesus. How will they hear without a preacher? That's you and I. Okay? Today, I want to share the greatest love story with you. And that love story is Jesus Christ. Okay? I don't care who you are. I don't care who you think you are. You're not too good to be saved. And you're not too bad to be saved. I want you to know this, that Jesus loves you. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. You may be the biggest, baddest sinner in this county, state, or in the United States of America, and Jesus can still save you. Quit making excuses and listen to the love story. Jesus loved you so much, He went to the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin. Because your sin had to be judged. Jesus took your sin to the cross of Calvary. And He paid the punishment of your sin. You see, today Jesus, and He died and He was buried. He rose again. Today He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And there is one thing you have to do to be saved. You know what that one thing is? Call upon Jesus Christ. You've got to ask Him. Brother Doug, that's too easy. And I've heard people say, oh, there's got to be more to it than that. No, if there was, you couldn't do it. Right? That if you'll call upon the name of Jesus, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin, and He will save you. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here today and you know some people, you work with some people that you've overlooked. You're friends with people that you've overlooked. You know? For whatever reason, understand this, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. They need to hear about Jesus. And they got to hear from you. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word and for your reminder. And Lord, we all have prejudice. My goodness, Lord. And we've looked over people because of color of skin and because of social classes and political parties and financial. And Lord, we're sorry. That's wrong. So Lord, help us to live daily as ministers of the gospel. That we quit making excuses why we don't and we start doing. Delivering the gospel to this lost and dying world. They need to hear from you. And Lord, we're your messengers. Give us the courage and the strength and the opportunity. And I pray now in this invitation that your will be done. And that we will respond to your leading. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.